All right, we're back talking a little college football, Big 12 style. This is One True Podcast with Tony and Johnny and Bryce. Guys, the coaching search is officially over for Baylor. Matt Rhule, formerly of Temple University, is the Bears' new head man, officially introduced yesterday, Wednesday, as we record this podcast. He's a guy that really wasn't on our radar. Mac Rhodes did a pretty masterful job of keeping Rhule's names under wraps during that search process. So what are your initial impressions of this hire?
I think it was a good hire. Like you said, it was kind of out of the blue. His name hadn't even come up until Tuesday morning when he was hired. He's definitely going to be different than Coach Briles. He runs a pro-style NFL type of offense.
Mm-hmm.
He made a point, said he uses a fullback and a tight end.
Haven't seen that in a while.
And their defense was number three in the country, so that'll be a little different than what Baylor's been. We'll see. To me, he sounds more kind of like a Bill Snyder style of coach. It's just real kind of fundamentally sound, not a real crazy kind of offense, and relies a lot on defense and probably ball possession.
It's interesting you bring up Bill Snyder because he came within a game of playing for the national championship 4 years ago. So, yeah, it seems like a really great hire. He wasn't on a lot of radars that we knew about, but it turned out he was a lot of radars of people in the know.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
A lot of teams were looking at him. A lot of places we didn't even realize until the end. Oregon apparently makes a play for him at the end. I think that, maybe some change is good. Those other teams are going to have to adapt to playing Baylor, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Defense in the Big 12 has gotten so bad, it's just there's no emphasis put on it anymore. You see these shootouts, and they're just, I guess they're fun to watch, but I'm kind of maybe old school in that mindset where maybe defense should be the most important thing. And I think the big thing about him was, that he didn't have any ties to the state of Texas, and that I think that people are wary of that. But I don't think that's going to be a big deal.
The teams that compete for national championships have great defenses. I mean, we know the cliche. We're not going to say the cliche, but everybody knows, about defense. And, it was interesting to hear Rhule say yesterday that if there's one school or style that he wants to kind of pattern what he does after, it's Alabama. Well, that's mm-hmm. a pretty good one to go after. And what he was talking about a little bit was the ability to spread you out when they want to spread you out, the ability to go between the tackles and smash and, play a little more conservative. And then obviously on the defensive side of the ball, the ability to shut you down. Now, will they be able to have the third-ranked defense in the country playing in the Big 12? Because, obviously there are a lot of shootouts, but one of the reasons there are a lot of shootouts is the offenses are very, very good.
Or because they miss tackles in the open field. look at this last game. Look at last week with D.D. Westbrook, the one highlight play. These guys can't even make tackles in the open field anymore.
That's a fair point.
Their defenses are awful.
And I do think that this is not necessarily a Big 12 only problem in terms of tackling. I think the rules on fewer contact practices probably don't help that. I'm sure if coaches had their way, they would probably prefer the old way. But I know we've kind of, we got to think about safety now too.
You also can't murder the quarterback on camera anymore. That hurts.
yep. So, yeah, what I liked about Rhule was obviously he's very enthusiastic. He's very, he seems like a very sharp guy. And, I wrote the other day when they made the hire that different doesn't have to be a bad thing. He could open up some avenues to some new recruits that Baylor has never been in on before. I mean, we're already seeing that with in Florida, the state of Florida.
I don't see how you can win at a college in Texas without getting the best players from Texas. So,
yeah, I agree with that.
But the thing is you don't necessarily have to be from here. I mean, maybe 50 years ago, yeah, you did. 30 years ago, you did. But we have this thing, it's called the internet. And we have cell phones. And it's not too hard to figure out how good a kid is before you get there. I think that it's he's got to focus on Texas first. Florida's great. And if you can get a starter or two out of there every year, that'd be great. But if you don't focus your efforts entirely on the state, where there's the best high school football in the country, you're sunk before you even start.
Well, and he acknowledged that yesterday.
It's but not, that's the knock, isn't it, though? The people that always argue for Texas ties is they can't get the state.
But I think his personality is such that he'll endear himself to players.
Yeah.
He's very animated, seems very personal. I think players are going to like that.
Well, and I don't remember who said it, but some coach told him, "Coach, just be yourself." And Texas high school coaches are going to appreciate that. Mac Rhodes listed a little text message that he got from a Texas high school coach. He didn't name the name, but that he'd never met before, and the coach was praising the hire, you know. I agree with you, Tony, that, you know, like Gary Patterson's a perfect example of someone that wasn't from Texas, came in, and, you know, he built a program there at TCU that has been very consistent.
Mac Brown wasn't from
Texas. Mac Brown's not from Texas. But now you did hear
Rhule. Tom Herman's from California.
Right. You did hear Rhule say, and I think that this is where you get around that not being from Texas, is that he would probably have a few coaches on his staff that did have Texas ties.
That'd be smart, yeah. Obviously.
All right, so what's his top priority now that he's here?
Well, I think recruiting.
Yeah, you think?
They've got one
commitment. We're a little behind.
Yeah, one commitment for 2017, and he's obviously already been recruiting, you know, because a lot of kids have tweeted that, you know, he's offered them scholarships already.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's well that, and he's got to get his staff together. Now apparently he's got three defensive coaches coming from Temple already. So I don't know what he's going to do with the offense, but yeah, staff and recruiting.
Yeah, I'd say his priorities are twofold, and they're pretty clear. One, recruit, make sure the best kids in Texas stay here. You look at 17 in the top 250 recruits in the country, six still haven't committed anywhere.
Mm.
You know, it is open season recruiting in Texas right now. Ohio State is making inroads here. LSU, the best players from Texas seemingly end up in Oklahoma every year. And then the other part of what he needs to do is clear up the toxic mess that is hovering over the Baylor football program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's those two things, recruiting and cleaning up Baylor's image as much as he can, because it's just... I mean, there's not a worse look in college football right now than there is at Baylor.
So what, I guess my question to that would be, what does he do to clean it up? Obviously, he wasn't part of it, but, you know, what can he do to help repair that image?
I mean, one thing he could do is just kind of step in and say, I want to know everything. Mm-hmm. I need to be the point man on everything that happens, good or bad, with this program. And nothing behind the scenes should, you know, the talk should be had. Hey, I don't want my assistant coaches to know things that I don't know about these players. I want to know everything. And I think you saw yesterday he got off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
He said all the right things. And I don't think it's just him saying it either, because obviously he has a track record of it. And he's a really good football coach. So far he's off. I mean, it's only been a couple of days. But
yeah.
I don't think PR is part of this.
It's because
they
absolutely
look so awful right now.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, it's good for Baylor that his hire was praised, I think, around the country by a lot of coaches, a lot of people in the know, as Tony said, people that, you know, media that cover the game, that know about Matt Rhule, all had pretty good things to say. I also think that he will want to really, he talked about having one-on-one meetings with every player that's on Baylor's, you know, current roster. And I think that's important because he's going to want to get to know those guys. Those, you know, the recruits are important, but those guys are the ones that are going to be playing next year, the ones that are coming back. I mean, you know, you may have to rely on some true freshmen, but so, you know, you're going to want to get to know those guys. You're going to want to know them, you know, personally. He talks about investing in players' lives. I think all that's important. And just show them that, you know, look, what's past is past, and I'm here for you, and just, you know, get to know them. I mean, that's a big part of coaching. Let's look ahead a little bit to the Cactus Bowl, the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. They'll leave the light on for you. John, you'll be out there in Phoenix for that. That game will be coached by Jim Grobe and the old assistant coaches. It's just a weird, awkward situation, but it is what it is. The Bears played better in their regular season finale in Morgantown. Can they make it a game against a 10-win Boise State team?
Well, like as we've discussed before, you never know about bowl games. Mm. I mean, this game looks about as lopsided in Boise State's favor as you could imagine.
Yeah.
You know, they're 10-2, Baylor's 6-6. Baylor's lost 6 straight. I mean, it doesn't look good for Baylor, and you don't know who's going to be coaching them, really. I mean, which assistants will still be there? We know Jim Grobe will be there, but other than that, we don't really know.
Yeah.
So, I would say Baylor's probably going to get clobbered, but you really just don't know in bowl games.
Yeah, the real question to me is how Boise State ended up in the Cactus Bowl. 2 losses on the road by a total of 9 points. It's just, and then they have to play Baylor. Yeah, I mean, I guess Baylor can make a game of it. I mean, they got the talent, but geez, you know, it just doesn't seem like you've watched them quit and fold so much over the last 2 months that it's hard to think that they're going to all of a sudden come together for a bowl game. But on the other hand, if you're talking about motivation, man, this is a tryout for a lot of guys at Baylor. Mm-hmm. You know, anything about Division I football is, you obviously can't pull the scholarship, but you can go. A coach can go in and say, "Hey, you're never going to play. You got to transfer." This is could be looked at as a tryout for a lot of these guys. And if you're not out there busting it, man, he's going to be watching that game. He'll never watch a game probably with more, you know, a magnifying glass that he's looking to see if they have who has it, who's ready to play.
Yeah, and you know, I think back to last year. And Baylor had a very banged up team as they went into the Russell Athletic Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, what are they going to do against, you know, I think North Carolina may have been a 10-win team. And they went out and set a bowl rushing game record, you know, all-time rushing yards in a bowl game. Obviously running that Wildcat. I think... Obviously, Art Briles is gone, and he was the true mastermind behind that offense. But if you give Baylor's coaches a few weeks to set up a game plan, I think they will fare better. I think right now nobody in the country needs a few weeks off more than Baylor does because they've been on a really bad slide. That said, I'm not picking them. I'm picking Boise. I think that they're just a better team, you know. Mm-hmm. So. As far as the conference goes, bowl-wise, 6 teams are going bowling in all. Big 12 did not fill its bowl game allotment. What is your projection of how the conference fares in those 6 games and which teams win?
Okay, well, I'm going to take Boise over Baylor.
Okay.
I'm going to take West Virginia over Miami, Kansas State over A&M, Oklahoma State over Colorado, Georgia over TCU, and Oklahoma over Auburn.
So that's a, what, 4-2?
4-2.
That's not a bad bowl record for the Big 12.
No, I'm 4-2, too, but I'm not quite with him on a few of those. Boise State, Baylor, and the Cactus. I got Boise State, the Russell Athletic, West Virginia, Miami. I got West Virginia. Texas Bowl, Kansas State, A&M, Kansas State. Alamo, Oklahoma State, Colorado. I've got Colorado. Liberty, TCU, Georgia. I've got TCU. The Sugar, OU versus Auburn, OU. Sugar seemed to me like the easiest pick out of all of them.
So give me your 4 winners again.
My 4 winners are Oklahoma, TCU, Kansas State, and West Virginia.
So I'm saying 3-3, and I'm taking West Virginia to win, Oklahoma State to win. And that's a toss-up game to me, Oklahoma State and Colorado, and OU to win. TCU has been real up and down, real average all year. You just really don't know what team's going to show up. And, you know, they could show up. Who knows? The reason I take A&M over K-State, I think that's another pretty good matchup. But A&M will have a huge home field advantage playing in Houston. There is the Aggie contingent in that city is you know just ginormous. So they'll have a lot of fans there, and we've seen when the Aggies have played well this year, they've been really good. You know, they looked like a contender there for a while, and then they you know sort of faded. But and then I like the Mountaineers. They just seem like, you know, this is Dana Holgorsen's best team, certainly since he's been in the Big 12 and, mm-hmm. You know, pulled out a win against Baylor. You know, they probably thought they didn't play as well as they could have, but, you know, you win the game. And that's the thing that they've done this year is win. So, all right, one last question for you guys. So it's a tradition at bowl time that these kids get some nice gifts, right? I mean, they always have, you know, like a Best Buy gift card or, you know, some watch or something, you know, backpack. I don't know. They have a whole lot of gifts that they give these guys. In fact, somebody always documents all the different bowl game gifts. So my question to you is if you're, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid going to a bowl game, what are you wanting on your little bowl game Christmas shopping list?
I say they from my experience talking to them, technology, any sort of like new tech they can get, iPads, iPhones, any sort of device.
But what does Tony want?
Oh, what do they want? Oh,
what do you want?
Oh, I want, I mean, I want that stuff too. I want the new technology. I want something to put it in too. Give me a nice bull bag
okay.
to put my iPad in.
Yeah.
I like the iPad idea too, even though I'm old school. I don't have an iPad. Take one.
I have one more question for John. I just want to see how you feel now that this is all over. This 6-month marathon coaching search is over. I just want to see how you feel. I mean, this has got to have been one of the weirder things you've ever covered.
Yeah, a bit relieved, I'd say. never covered a season quite like this.
You have covered a lot of coaching searches.
Yeah. You know, this one, you know, once it started, it went fairly quick. And, you know, Mac Rhodes.
But as Tony said, it was kind of a 6-month process.
I feel like, yeah, it was a long.
Because, I mean, that was really, Garland said it yesterday, that's why Mac Rhodes was hired, was to hire a football coach. And Mac Rhodes said yesterday, and this is true, I agree with him, that really in today's athletic departments, the most important relationship is the one between the athletic director and the head football coach, that they need to be kind of tied at the hip. I mean, obviously, college football drives the athletic department bus, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it was important that he got his guy.
Important for him, too, because their fates are tied to each other.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but, you know, when I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, he pretty much said it was going to be after the season before they named a coach.
Right. I don't disagree with his timing at all, but you know, to think that he hasn't been working on this for months.
It's got
to
be in priority number one for him, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it was real, you know, every time they were questioned about the timeline yesterday, it was real like, you know, they didn't want to really go into it. But I have no doubt that Rhule had to have been on his radar from the start. And when I asked him a question, Mac Rhodes yesterday about, and it was the first question I asked in the breakout session, I said, so you interviewed him last year at Missouri. I mean, and he was like, well, we don't want to talk about past coaching searches and stuff. Well, obviously he had to have made an impression on him during that coaching search. I don't know why. He probably didn't want to get into why he didn't hire him then for the Missouri job, and instead...
Yeah, well, he's known him since Conference USA days.
Right.
So, you know, when Mac was at Houston. So, I mean, he's known him a long time, and I talked to him a little bit the other day, and he said, he's always admired the guy, the way he coaches, just the kind of person he is.
Well, and sometimes a guy can be a good fit for one school and maybe not a good fit for another or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he ended up, Mac Rhodes ended up promoting Barry Odom in that Missouri position. And I think that was pretty well received in Missouri. But
They're terrible.
They are terrible. But at the time, I was saying it was well received. I think he was well respected. But you know, I think, you know, we'll see how this marriage works, but I know Mac Rhodes is very high on him, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, I think they go way back, though. So I think he knows them very well.
John, you did a hell of a job covering it. I enjoyed, you know,
well,
the whole thing.
Thank you, John.
Good job.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right.